It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna. Yes!
What is up, everybody? Welcome into a special Monday edition of Shout at Buffalo Football Podcast. Tonight, we had to go live on a Monday here with a special Shout Insider edition of the Shout Podcast. We're taking a couple of questions. What do you want to talk about? We put it in the insider's hands, and we got a couple of things to nibble on. Speaking of nibbling on something, you should come out on Wednesday night. Get yourself all the delicious eats at Two Nines Kitchen Bar. We will be there. Ryan Talbot, Matt Parrino, the Shout Buffalo Bills football podcast with a special guest. Former Bills defensive backs coach John Butler will be our featured guest. We'll get a chance to talk to him about a lot of different things. His tenure in Buffalo, a couple of big games that haven't gone the way that I think the Bills wish that it had, and him moving in a new direction, and we're going to talk about the Bills' direction and where they're going and what he sees for this team as they, especially in the defensive side of the ball, you know, potentially make a lot of changes. That's out at Two Nines Kitchen Bar this Wednesday night, April 3rd, 6 p.m. The show starts at 7. Come out, hang out. We're going to eat some delicious food, have a couple of drinks, hang out. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, not too much. Excited about tonight. Excited about Wednesday. And a great classic basketball game on right now, too, for anyone that's joining us. Thank you.
I know. What's the score?
58-52 Iowa right now.
Is it a third quarter?
Third quarter.
Nice. All right. So we'll this is second screen viewing. We'll probably get you done before the fourth. So in case it's a barn burner, you can get to the TV and check it out, which it already appears to be. Jay Schroeder, become a Shout Insider. That is great advice, my friend. You could do so by texting 716-528-6727. You get yourself a two-week free trial right from the jump. It is only $3.99 a month after that. And the Shout Insider text line is brought to you by Carrie C. Byer, attorney with the law offices of Francis M. Litro, located at 237 Main Street in Buffalo, New York. If you or someone you know is seriously injured, give them a call, 716-852-1234, or check out litrolaw.com. Okay, two more quick housekeeping items. We are coming back to Wingnuts with our big live mock draft, Ryan, and I'm putting together ideas for how we're going to do this, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to have that TV in the background at Wingnuts, and we're going to set up your computer with an HDMI or mine, one or the other. And we'll be able to bring up a draft simulator up there. So you'll have the draft board right behind us. And we're going to do a mock draft pick by pick, live in person. You know, it'll be like the draft when people are booing Roger Goodell. If we make a bad pick in the draft, whoever comes out to watch the show, boo, mostly for Ryan's picks. But there's going to be a lot of boos, and we welcome that.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that. I love draft season. Now that we're less than a month away, it's approaching quickly. So can't wait for that episode at Wingnuts as well.
And another housekeeping item. Oh, yes. This Thursday at 4 p.m., I believe, I'm jumping on with our good friend, the Bulldog, on WGR 550. So check out that interview later this week. All right, let's get into this question here, Ryan. And I'm going to set this thing up because it's a great question. It's one that I feel like has been discussed over the last couple of weeks in some heated social media exchanges about this topic. And it's a fun one. And you go back to, I believe it's the 2011 draft. the Atlanta Falcons sent the 27th pick, their second round pick, and their fourth round pick in that year's draft, along with their first and fourth in the next year for the number six pick to go up and draft Julio Jones. So a lot of people are sitting here looking at the Bills roster and looking at the obvious need for wide receiver, and some are advocating for that kind of trade package to go up and get one of the top three, the big three, Rome Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, pick your poison, whatever Brandon Bean probably wants, but advocating for that kind of deal where you kind of sell off a couple of high-end draft picks to go up and get what is believed to be a can't-miss player. But Ryan, is it necessarily can't-miss? Are you, if you roll the dice in this way, you better be sure that you're going to roll snake eyes, man, because that is a lot of draft capital to go up and get a guy that nothing's a guarantee.
Yeah. Can't miss are two words you can't use when you're talking about the NFL draft. The year that Josh Allen was drafted, he was a can miss prospect where there was, you know, Josh Rosen was can't miss NFL ready. Now one's, you know, not, I don't even know if they're in the league anymore as the third QB or whatever, but never panned out. You look at some of these prospects, wide receiver hit rates in round one and round two, it's usually around a 50-50 shot on whether or not these players pan out at the wide receiver position. In a standard year where there is maybe not as deep of a wide receiver class, I might say roll the dice on it. But there's, again, there's no such thing as a sure thing. The last time the Bills made a move up for a wide receiver, not a drastic move as this would be, but for Sammy Watkins, he was supposed to be a can't-miss, top receiver in the draft class type of player, and it didn't turn out that way. He had some special traits. He had some special qualities. He had some great moments, but he never turned into that can't-miss prospect. I think Malik Nabers is going to be an unbelievable wide receiver. I think Marvin Harrison Jr., Odunze, all three of them might end up being special, but there's no guarantee. And if you miss on that, it sets you back a little bit. And considering how deep this year's draft class is at receiver, I would not advocate for such a move. You know, it worked out for the Falcons getting a special talent in Julio Jones. It didn't get him over the mountaintop, though. It got him to a Super Bowl for sure. But they weren't able to win the big one with Julio Jones either. So that's the other thing. Even if you hit, is it enough to put the Bills over the top? You would hope so. But again, there's no lock. What about you?
Right. And listen, if you're sold on the player, I don't necessarily hate the idea of going for it, right? Like going out and getting a guy that you think is going to come in there and become a day one impact player. You know, if the Bills could go out and add a DeAndre Hopkins or a Mike Evans, right? Like the argument is that you make in that area is you want to get Odell Beckham Jr. when we talked about it last offseason, is to add a difference maker at a position that elevates your team, your offense in a big way. So I get the thinking. The problem is, to your point, it's a bit of a dice roll. I mean, the Bills have their own former first-round draft pick in Sammy Watkins that didn't work out. And I feel like, of course, he didn't have a quarterback. He never had an elite quarterback, the likes of Josh Allen. And I think you put any of those three guys with Josh Allen, and the likelihood is that they take off and they become a top-tier player. But I think with the way that this rosters constructed, you need so many more things as you look along the, you know, different parts of this roster, needs that you're not even thinking about in 2024 that are going to pop up in 2025 and beyond. You know, I pushed back a little bit on Mel Kiper going cornerback in the first round in a mock draft a couple weeks ago. And man, you look past this season, and who do the Bills have under contract past this upcoming season that you feel good about, confident about? Christian Benford.
That's about it.
The end of the list. So, I mean, you're going to have to draft players at other positions. They're rolling the dice on a couple of free agents at safety. Who knows if any of those are going to end up hitting? You might have to use draft capital in future years. The interior of the offensive line, are you set there? Are you fully good with David Edwards and Connor McGovern? That's a question that's worth asking. And on the defensive line, Ryan, there is a lot of long-term question marks as well. So I think it's one of those situations where the price tag is too high. And let me read off a couple names. Let's go through this list really quick. Tyreek Hill, fifth rounder, right?
Mm-hmm.
CeeDee Lamb, first rounder. Amon-Ra St. Brown, third rounder. Puka Nacua, fifth rounder. A.J. Brown, second rounder. D.J. Moore, Brandon Ayuk, first rounders. Nico Collins, third rounder. The point being, I just rattled off the top nine receivers in total yards last season, and more than half of them were found outside of the first round. You can find impact players, starters of the future in those other rounds, and you don't have to sacrifice that amount of draft capital to do it.
That's just it. It's the what Brandon Bean's always done. He looks forward as well. And if you give up that kind of capital, you're leaving holes on your roster that become more difficult. And as much as I like DaQuan Jones and Austin Johnson, both of those guys are up there in age. So D tackle is still going to be in need sooner rather than later. Edge rusher, that is always an area where they're trying to address and add talent there. You mentioned the cornerback position. I completely agree. Rasul Douglas, 30, last year of his contract. He leaves with Christian Benford. And, you know, some Bills fans have said, as good as Benford's been, there's been some durability issues here early on, which is a fair talking point. So they might need some help there. There's a lot of positions. If you're giving up a first this year, a first next year in such a move like that, you're taking yourself away from addressing maybe some of those needs with an immediate game-changing type player.
I'm looking at the draft capital, and I keep going back to this one talking point that I think, you know, I've been a little bit redundant on this throughout the process here, but I think the second and third round are where the potential real value is to get aggressive and to trade up. And I think there could be a world that we live in where the Bills, you know, depending on how the draft, like I was just reading a mock draft. I think it was from the Draft Network. I can't remember who it was. The dude that breaks all the news on the draft visits, Justin.
Oh, Mello.
Yes, Justin Mello. He did a mock draft over at the Draft Network, and I checked it out. He had, I believe, five quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks, five or six, actually. Yeah. I think he had Penix, McCarthy, and Bo Nix all going through the first 12 picks. That's a very aggressive scenario. But let's say like four or five go, right? And they go in the first 27 picks. And now you're Brandon Bean with a team in the top three or four of the second round that wants to move up. You could maybe sell that pick for a king's ransom, move back five picks. And if you have, say, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, and maybe a Troy Franklin in that same pool, you can get the receiver, you can get more capital, and then you could be aggressive to move up in rounds two and rounds three, be really aggressive going out and finding three or four starters in those first 90 picks.
And that makes a ton of sense. But if the quarterbacks, you know, that many quarterbacks come to fruition, either way, it's going to push talent down the board to Buffalo, whether it is a wide receiver, whether it is an edge rusher, Latu from UCLA, for instance. There's going to be guys, and to your point, I think there's going to be so many guys, whether it's edge rushers, wide receivers, any other needs that the Bills might surprise you on, that they could move down and they could still get one or two of those players, acquire another day two pick and set themselves up with multiple top 90 picks on a roster that's already Super Bowl ready, AFC contending ready, and that will help this roster out significantly. So, yeah, if the quarterbacks come off the board like some are expecting, you know, I just saw one recently too, where I want to say there was five quarterbacks that went fairly high in the draft. It just pushes so much talent down to Buffalo.
All right, we're going to get to the next question here. If you're just joining in, thank you so much for joining us on a Monday night. Big women's hoops game going on. We'll get you out of here so you can watch the end of that. But a couple, you know, NFL topics to get into. Let's talk about this comes from Brian Domster on the Insider Chat. Thoughts on the New York Jets' newest pass rusher. The New York Jets go out. They lose Bryce Huff, who goes to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then the Philadelphia Eagles trade their big pass rusher, Hassan Reddick, to the Jets. How much does that move the needle for you, Huff out and Hassan Reddick in?
It doesn't really. I mean, it's kind of a swap. As much as I like Reddick, I thought Huff, when in that situational role that he was in, he was great. And I thought there was still some untapped potential there. And I think that's what the Eagles looked at. We can get Huff. We can trade away Reddick. We can get a third-round pick that could become a second-round pick. Get that salary off the books. Now, for the Jets, I understand that they are desperate as desperate can be. If they don't put together a good season this year, they have to clean house. GM, head coach, in my opinion at least, I'd be shocked if they did not. So they're going all in. And when I say all in, I don't necessarily mean Super Bowl contender. That'd be quite a turnaround. They do have some great pieces on that defense, and I think Reddick will help them even more. But you're depending on Aaron Rodgers, who obviously last year was only in for a little bit in the first quarter of a game and missed the entire season. Wasn't great the year before that in Green Bay, not by his standards at least. So you're depending a lot still on that offense where there's some unknowns there. I understand the move. I don't think it is as big of a move as you would think. And, you know, another thing is it makes that Will McDonald pick look even worse 1 year later, where they grab him with their first round pick. He barely sees the field as a rookie. Now you're probably going to stunt his growth some more by bringing in a veteran like this. So it also kind of goes back and it makes last year's early pick look pretty bad.
Yeah, and I think, like, if you look at their interior defensive line, they've lost a couple of guys that I feel like really made that thing go. I know John Franklin Myers, he kind of be considered an interior lineman. I know Javon Kinlaw and Leki Fatu, bringing those guys in. We'll see what that looks like. But, you know, a couple new pieces. C.J. Mosley is a little bit older. And the thing with Reddick, for me, the biggest piece of that move is you're not only giving up draft capital for the guy, but at 30 years old, and you're not going to pay him a big contract. I just don't know, and I get it. Like, to your point, you got to go all in. You got to go all in if that's the way that you feel. They've literally locked themselves into, you know, the 4-day dark retreat with Aaron Rodgers, and the 4-day retreat is a 2-year extended run with a guy that has just been a distraction at every turn. And so I get the whole situation that you have to be all in. You have to try to accumulate talent. And Hassan Reddick is a talented player. But I don't think that on paper, you look at both sides of the ball. We'll see what happens in the draft. They could have a sensational draft and really tip the scales. I think on paper, their offensive line is better. Do they have the sustainability to stay healthy in front of Aaron Rodgers? Will he even be the same guy if they do? So many questions. I'm wondering where they go in the first round. I mean, listen, you add Mike Williams, who's probably not going to be a factor until later in the season. You have Garrett Wilson. Already, that's a better 1-2 punch than they had a year ago. If they go out and get one of those top three receivers, or even if all those guys are gone and they get like a Brian Thomas, that creates a real trio there where if Aaron Rodgers can be any level of the player that he was, I think they have something cooking there for sure.
Yeah, I think Brock Bowers makes a lot of sense there, too, the tight end from Georgia. You know, Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of success in his career with some tight ends. A lot of the time, not high pedigree tight ends either, but he's got the best out of those. And you mentioned the 1-2 punch at receiver, Breece Hall at running back. They have some pieces there. I think tight end is still kind of an area that needs to be addressed. So they have a lot of directions they can go, though, based on what they've done in free agency. The trade that they just made, it does give them a little bit more flexibility to their credit. But again, everything that I've seen from them, especially this trade, it's just a desperate move by a desperate front office trying to put together a winning season to salvage their jobs, more or less.
Next question comes from one of our regulars on the insider line, Christy Allen. Do you see them drafting a defensive end? If so, how do you think, and who do you think is on their radar outside of the wide receiver buzz? Who are they big on? So I definitely think they're going to draft an edge rusher. I mean, they have 11 picks right now. I think in the last mock, I had them going Miles Cole. They could definitely go earlier. I saw a mock draft with them at 60 going with the Alabama edge rusher, Brasworth, who, if I'm pronouncing his name, I'm going off of memory there. That could be an interesting pick. I mean, there's some people that have first round or fringe first round grades on that guy. Where they go edge rusher to me is more of the question than whether or not they draft one.
100%. They will definitely be taking an edge rusher. If it's not wide receiver in round one, I wouldn't be shocked if it was edge rusher there. I mentioned Latu from UCLA. He makes a ton of sense if he's there at 28. Chop Robinson is a name to keep in mind out of Penn State. I've seen some fans say the one-year production, try to compare him a little bit to Aaron Maben. Completely different skill sets, different players. I get the lack of production is a little bit of a worry, but the talent's there. You can see that he has all the traits you're looking for. If not first round, day two, early day three, they're definitely going to take a defensive end, though, at some point. It's just this team's MO. They're always trying to address both sides of the trenches, the lines, and I expect that to happen again this year.
Yeah, and I think, like, setting up, there's got to be a plan for, like, what kind of style of player you want, more so than who it ends up being. Like, I'm interested to know, like, what did you learn from the Boogie, AJ, Greg experience, and how are you kind of spinning that forward with the next guy? Do you want to, like, one of the things that people talk about with Chop Robinson and why he's kind of not, like, such a super clean fit with the Bills is that they typically want bigger, more powerful guys. They haven't really seemed to jump at, in the draft at least, those bendy, smaller, speedy edge rushers where, you know, I think now is the time to go get that. If you're invested one more year in Von Miller, wouldn't you want to try to take the biggest athletic freak, like somebody that kind of stylistically compares to him, and tag him up with Von Miller, try to let him learn as much as he can from him, and maybe set that up for when you move on from Von Miller, maybe after this season?
Yeah, it's definitely something that they should be trying to do, because like you said, Von is not going to be here for long on this Bills roster. But if you can bring someone in that he can kind of mentor for a year, help try to bring along, you still have Russo, you have Epinesa back in the fold, you have some younger players still that I still think haven't reached their ceiling. But you want to bring in someone that has those athletic traits, like you said, that jump off the page, that maybe can help put this team over the top. Because you need a great pass rusher in those big game moments in the playoffs. So the Bills going out and addressing that makes a lot of sense, and, you know, different position group. But I would love to hear from John Butler on Wednesday night what they looked for in the cornerback room, for instance, and why he had so much success with those day three players, those UDFAs like Levi Wallace. What was it in their makeup that they were looking for at that position, and versus, you know, why are they missing or not getting those difference makers that off the edge, or not developing players as well per se? That'll be something that maybe we can kind of dive into on Wednesday night as well.
Caitlin Clark is absolutely crushing it right now. She's got 31-8-4 through three quarters, headed to the fourth in the elite matchup against LSU. I'm excited to get to a TV and watch that. But before we get to it, I want to talk quickly. I think we've covered this a little bit since the Curtis Samuel signing. But one of the questions in the insider group was, what is Curtis Samuel's arrival mean for Khalil Shakir and potentially his playing time? And I think a way I'd like to frame this, Ryan, is like more so I'd like to talk about, rather than what it means for Shakir, like how do you feel like Joe Brady can emphasize the strengths before we know the rookie receiver that gets kind of added to the mix here of Stephon Diggs, Curtis Samuel, and Khalil Shakir? What does Samuel's arrival mean for what potentially Brady can do differently with Shakir and maybe even Diggs?
Great question. You know, the great thing about Curtis Samuel is he is a movable chess piece. You can use him in so many different ways, inside, outside, in the backfield. And having that type of versatility is nothing new to this Bills team, because Stephon Diggs is a player that you can put on the inside. You can put him on the outside. They tried some handoffs with him last year. Didn't work out as well as I think it will with a guy like Curtis Samuel. Khalil Shakir has some outside ability in his game. So they like those players that can be moved around. But Curtis Samuel is someone that's already had success in this offense. The way that they line him up, gave him carries, the way that they used him on bubble screens and the quick passes, and that's his bread and butter. He can do so much for this team. So by having a player like that, one, it frees up attention, or it frees some of the attention away maybe from Stephon Diggs, and it allows Khalil Shakir to kind of fly under the radar, which I feel like he's done now through two seasons, despite more and more opportunities coming his way and more of a payoff in terms of the stats and the production. And then you throw in a rookie, it also takes a little bit of the pressure off the rookie to necessarily have to come in and be this difference maker from week one. By mid-season, late in the season, you're going to count on that guy if you draft them high to make big plays, but it also helps in that regard.
So the one interesting thing to me about Diggs' season last year, and it's something that we've been trending in this direction for quite a while now, but he takes a lot of plays off. Like, I feel like there's a scenario where, you know, they even pull back regular season workload on Stephon Diggs next season. And that is an uptick for Shakir. Maybe you want to, you know, play him a little bit more on the outside. And listen, from year two to year three, like if I'm Khalil Shakir, I'm in the meeting rooms, you know, virtually or whatever they do in the offseason. And I'm telling Joe Brady, listen, I'm working with this guy, Eric Moles, that did a lot of stuff on the outside during his career. Put me on the outside. I could play out there. I could play in the slot. I could be whatever you need me to be. And that allows Samuel to probably play a little bit more in the slot. And then also Diggs more in the slot as well. Then you go out and you get a bona fide X receiver in the draft. And now I feel like you're cooking a little bit.
Yeah, 100% you're cooking. And like we said, it comes down to roster flexibility and what they can do with those three players that they currently have on their roster, but also having the help of that rookie as that true X, that true outside guy. Because I think as good as flexibility is, you do want to also draft someone that is a more of a true outside receiver that you can develop and grow into that heir apparent to Stephon Diggs as your wide receiver one.
So Gabe Davis led all wide receivers with 82.9% of the snaps last season. So you need to fill that in. Right. Just in and of itself, right? Like Dalton Kincaid played 60. He's probably going to get an uptick there. You figure if there's some more health for Dawson Knox, his snap share will rise as well. He played 41.8. Shakir was at about 51. I could see that remaining the same. And then you got Deontay Hardy at 14%, Trent Sherfield at 34%. I think you're going to add a rookie wide receiver to the mix, and I think you're going to be very – I think you're going to see those snap percentages kind of come more so to the mean for all four of those guys, and there's a wild card in all of this. Like, I know it's like it's good for business to talk anything about Justin Shorter because he is – there is a hive that gets real, real pumped about Justin Shorter, but I think there's a world we can live in where he is a core special teamer, and because of his size and his – athletic prowess and his potential deep ball ability, if that's something they're able to unlock, he's got a role in all this too, especially if you're pulling back Stephon Diggs's like field time.
Yeah. There's a few different players that I'm intrigued by to watch this summer. You know, KJ Hamler, who they brought in, it's been health issues for him, but the speed is there. Andy Isabella has been a darling, but one of my favorites is Tyrell Shavers. And he's another guy where I can't wait to see what year one to year two looks like for him. Can he push for a roster spot or be that first guy that gets elevated from the practice squad in season? They do have some talent there. I know they're not household names for the most part. They don't have the hive that Justin Shorter seems to have among this fan base, but they do have some intriguing guys on the back end competing for maybe one spot, maybe two, depending on how many they end up carrying.
I want to say one of our Shout insiders, Mark Bitske, had some jokes in on the text line when we said we're going to be live at 8:30. He's like, see you at 9 o'clock. Well, Mark, if you're just tuning in right now, we're going to have to say see you later because we are all done with tonight's episode. So I hope you got in at 8:30 because we started a couple minutes after that. I'm just kidding. I'm always late. So he was actually in line with saying, I'll see you at 9. He had a better chance of it being at 9 probably than 8:30. This Wednesday night, Ryan, John Butler, former Bills defensive backs coach, will be our special guest on Shout. Showtime is 7 p.m. The event starts at 6. 2-9's Kitchen Bar on Worley Drive. The address is in the description on YouTube and all the audio platforms. We hope to see a bunch of people out. We'll be talking Bills, draft, and all things Bills, obviously, with John Butler. I can't wait, Ryan.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Bills Mafia, make sure you join us.
All right, take care, everybody. We'll see you Wednesday night.